Okay, we are continuing our study together in Bible Survey, and we come now today to the book of Deuteronomy. So turn in your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this brings us then to the conclusion of the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch, penta means five, and the Pentateuch is just a word that refers to the first five books of the Bible. And they form the foundation of all the rest of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These five books were written by Moses, and these five books provide the whole foundation for our Christian faith, and we see them being quoted constantly in the New Testament. So the book of Deuteronomy is an interesting book in that it is a book of sermons. Okay? What we have in this book is a whole bunch of sermons that Moses preached to the people of God. And so in this book, unlike the other books, there's no movement. It takes place on the east bank of the Jordan River. And so Leviticus, I guess there's not much movement there. There are some incidents that occur there. Where it takes place at Mount Sinai, this one takes place at the east bank of the Jordan River. Let me draw you a real quick little map here so we can get our geography squared away. I'm going to turn this over like this. And what we have is the Mediterranean Sea, okay? And we have the Nile River. Okay, and then we have the Red Sea that comes up like this, and there's an arm there, and it goes down like that, and there's an arm there, and it goes up like that, okay? And this probably should protrude up a little more like that. And then we have the Sea of Galilee, we have the Jordan River, and we have the Dead Sea. All right, so what happens is Israel is in Egypt. This is Egypt where the Nile River is, okay? And they come out of Egypt and they cross the Red Sea, all right? And then they go down and Mount Sinai is about right there on the Sinai Peninsula, okay? And then they leave there and they come up to Kadesh Barnea. And I'll just put a KB for that, Kadesh Barnea, all right? So they spend about 13 months at Mount Sinai. They get the Old Covenant, okay? Book of Exodus, they build the tabernacle, okay? Then the book of Numbers, they start to sail up to Kadesh Barnea, and they're supposed to go in and take the promised land. Of course, they don't do that. They fail at Kadesh Barnea, and so what happens is they come down and they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, okay? And then what happens is that after that generation dies off, then they finally turn and go up the outside of the Dead Sea. You remember Edom and Moab were there and they weren't allowed to invade either of those countries because Edom was from Esau, brother of Jacob. And of course, Moab was one of the sons of Lot and he was also related to Abraham. So they didn't attack their brethren, those who were related to them, all right? And then they came up and they attacked the Amorites and they wound up attacking the king of Bashan. And here they are camped on the east side of the Jordan River, okay? Now, they still haven't gotten the promised land yet, okay? But here's where they are on the east side of the Jordan River, okay? The whole book of Deuteronomy takes place right there, okay? So that's how it works. All right, as far as the book of Deuteronomy goes, the name of the book comes from the Septuagint name, Deuteronomen, and it means the second giving of the law. Deutero means two, nomos means law, deuteronomos, deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. Now, when was the first giving of the law? Well, it was the book of Exodus, right? They go to Mount Sinai, they get the law and the old covenant, okay, at Mount Sinai. And of course, that generation failed at Kadesh Barnea. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. They all died. So now there's this new generation of everybody who is 20 years old and younger, plus Joshua and Caleb, who now are sitting on the east side of the Jordan. And now what Moses does is he renews the covenant and he restates the law of God to this new generation and thus teaches them the same things in Deuteronomy that were taught in the book of Exodus. And what this tells us is that the Word of God and the covenants of God have to be retaught to every single generation. The first generation that got those things died off. Well, the next generation needed to be taught them again. And so if you've been reading along with us, as you read in Exodus, you read the law of God, and then you get to Deuteronomy, it's the same stuff over again, right? The Ten Commandments are repeated again. And so what this tells us then is that we don't need to add to the law of God or the Word of God. We don't need to change it. We just need to faithfully convey it again to the next generation, who will then convey it again to the next generation. And we have Deuteronomy, Triteronomy, Quadronomy, Pentaonomy, down to whatever number of generations this is now, okay, where I, you know, 58-year-old guy, am teaching you, 19, 20-year-olds, you know, younger people, all the stuff I know, and then, God willing, you'll turn around and you'll teach it to your kids and to the next generation. Someday, you'll be a 58-year-old guy teaching Sunday school to a bunch of 20-year-olds that aren't even born yet, and thus the Word of God is passed down from generation to generation. And that's exactly what's happening here in this book. Now, the author is Moses. The book of Deuteronomy explicitly declares Mosaic authorship in chapter 31. The Lord attributes Deuteronomy to Moses in Matthew chapter 19, where he talks about the laws of marriage. Remember, they came to him and said, can we divorce our wife for any reason? And, you know, Jesus says, well, you know, what does the Bible say? Well, you know, Moses gave commandment to do X, Y, Z, and Jesus says, you know, Moses commanded that because of the hardness of your hearts, but from the beginning it was not so. And so Jesus specifically attributes the book of Deuteronomy to Moses. So we know who wrote it. As to the historical background, the death of Aaron took place in Numbers chapter 20, verses 23 to 29. And that kind of marked the end of the wanderings in the wilderness. You remember I said they'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Well, at the death of Aaron, that's when God says, okay, it's time to move for the second time towards the promised land to enter into it. And in Numbers 21, chapter 21 through chapter 36, we see the record of Israel's march to the Jordan River, and they're now ready to enter Canaan. And so we come to Deuteronomy 1 and verse 1. These be the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over opposite the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dezeroth. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way to Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So what should have been an 11-day journey, okay, from here to here, actually took 40 years, okay? And after 40 years of wandering around, they wind up there again, and then Aaron dies, and then they travel up to here. So Deuteronomy 1:3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. So here we have a 40-year period from the time they left Egypt until the time they got here on the east side of the Jordan River, 40 years. It was supposed to take about two. Because, of course, they spent 13 months here at Mount Sinai, getting the covenant and building the tabernacle. Okay, 11-day journey. Then they spent about 37 years wandering around here. It took pretty much a year to get to here. So from the time they left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, until they got here was 40 years total. All right. The book of Genesis, let's talk about the relationship between these five books for a moment, okay? The book of Genesis, we said, is the book of beginnings. In the beginning, God, right? And so the world has started, the human race has started, the chosen race has started, Abraham, and of course the fall begins there, right? The book of Exodus is the book of redemption, where God brings his people out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. The book of Leviticus is the book of communion with God, in which God institutes the priesthood and all the animal sacrifices and all the ordinances of the temple. There he declares the feasts and things that the people are supposed to engage in so that they can have communion with God. And so there is a means for them to confess and be cleansed from their sins. And then there are means provided for their ongoing walk and communion and fellowship with God. Okay? Then, of course, there's the book of Numbers, and that deals with the people's walk with God. They're actually traveling with God to the Promised Land. And in the book of walking, we see God's goodness in the way he provided for them. Water out of the rock, manna, okay? We also see the severity of God, in which God is chastising them and correcting them and disciplining them for their rebellions and for their murmurings against him and against his servant Moses and against his law. And then, of course, in Deuteronomy, this is the book of renewal, okay, where the children of Israel are being renewed back to the condition and place and standing which they had when they were at Mount Sinai, and of course, which they lost in their failure at Kadesh Barnea. So Genesis is the book of beginnings. Exodus is the book of redemption. Leviticus is the book of communion. Numbers is the book of walking. And Deuteronomy is the book of renewal. Now, you remember we said about Leviticus, how it really emphasized the holiness of God. There was a huge number of mentions of the holiness of God in Leviticus. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a huge emphasis on the word love. And 22 times it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And of course, the very first commandment, Deuteronomy chapter 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy might. That's found in the book of Deuteronomy. And so basically what God is saying to his people is, love me, okay, and out of that love, obey me. And of course the word obey occurs 10 times. So what we see is time and again God says, love me, therefore obey me. And so that's a big emphasis in the book of Deuteronomy. And so the book of Deuteronomy is a book that emphasizes obedience. Observe to do was emphasized by Moses to the people because obedience was the basis of blessing. Possession of the land, victory over foes, prosperity and happiness. How is that all going to come to them? Well, by obeying God. And of course, all those things were lost by the previous generation because they didn't obey God and they didn't go forward with God when he says, you know, here's what I want you to do next. And then it's a book of remembrance and retrospect. The book of Deuteronomy, Moses spends the opening chapters, as you recall from reading it, looking back on the redemption out of Egypt, looking back on the discipline and the punishment in the wilderness. And it reminds the people of the goodness of God and bringing them out and the severity of God and chastising them for their disobediences. And then it's a book of hope and prospect. It looks forward to the future in the Promised Land and the prophetic forecast of Israel's future. God saying, I'm giving you the land, you're going forward, you're going to go into the land, it's going to be great. And then fourthly, it's a book of warning and foreboding. because this book predicts in no uncertain terms Israel's apostasy in the future after she's in the land and she gets complacent. And so we see that it's a book of obedience, it's a book of remembrance and retrospect, it's a book of hope and prospect, and it's a book of warning and foreboding. It's also a book of great encouragement because in it we have wonderful, wonderful promises of Messiah and the fact that God is going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and he is going to be the one who's going to deliver Israel. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says, I'm going to circumcise your hearts so that you will want to do all of my will and all of my law. So what he's saying to them is, I'm going to have a redeemer and I'm going to have a new birth. And these things are going to secure ultimately the obedience of the people of God to God and tie their hearts to him. So it's a wonderful conclusion to these five books. And it really sets out ultimately the blessed hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at our outline. Our outline of Deuteronomy, you should all have one, should have all gotten passed out to you, okay? The book outlines really, in broad terms, very easily. First of all, we have the history of the journey, chapters 1 to 4, and that is a historical review of the book of Numbers. And so what Moses does in the first four chapters is he sits the children of Israel down and he says, now let's look back at our history over the last 40 years. Let's talk about that. So he reviews what happened to Israel and how they got to where they are. And it's important to understand history. And so what we see in that historical review of the book of Numbers is that an 11-day journey by faith was turned into 40 years of wandering because of unbelief. And how many professing Christians do you know that are out there wandering around in circles because of their unbelief? They don't want to go forward with God. They want to cling to their false beliefs and their false practices. What we have then is from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea in chapter 1, okay, which is the story of the journey from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. That's in chapter 1. And then the wilderness wanderings in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. They turn to Kadesh Barnea, and in three verses, he covers about 40 years. Wasted years. Years wasted because of unbelief and rebellion and sin. You're in Deuteronomy, turn to chapter 2. Notice verses 1 to 3. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you've compassed these mountains long enough, turn you northward. Now notice, if you will, verses 14 and 15. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we came over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord swore unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So a whole generation was wasted out in the wilderness because of sin. And so the lesson of Numbers in the early chapters of Deuteronomy is, don't do that. Don't waste your life refusing to obey the Lord at some point or the other. And then 3b is the journey from Mount Seir, which is Edom, to Moab. And that's chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 4 and verse 49. And so in that section, Moses was denied entry into the promised land because God had a better promised land to take him to, which was heaven. And so you remember he died on top of Mount Pisgah and God buried him. And then we see the conquest of the Amorites, Heshbon, and Bashan, the east plains of Jordan. The Ammonites, the Heshbonites, and the Bashanites. As they came up around here, they had to fight three kings. on the east side of Jordan, okay? So they battled the Ammonites, the Heshbonites, and the Bashanites. Remember Og, king of Bashan? And anyway, they secured this whole eastern plain. And remember Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh took over this section ultimately and lived there. And of course, they went over the Jordan and helped conquer the land. And then ultimately, Joshua gave them that piece of land. So that's a record of those battles. And then we come to 2a, which is the bulk of the book, with the restatement and exposition of the law, chapter 5 through chapters 26. So what Moses is then doing in chapter 5 through 26 is he's clarifying, restating, and reapplying the law of God and the covenant of God that was given at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. Okay, so first of all, 1b, the restatement and application of the Ten Commandments. Chapter 5, of course, is the Ten Commandments and the events at Mount Sinai. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. After giving the Ten Commandments, restating them, Moses says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And that's why God gave the Ten Commandments. It wasn't to make you miserable. It wasn't to oppress you. It wasn't to make you live in a way that the rest of the world would consider bizarre and weird. It was that, as it says in verse 29, that it would be well with you and with your children forever. The Ten Commandments are just simply the rules for living a life that results in good outcomes. You know, if you don't steal, you have better outcomes than if you do, right? If you don't commit adultery, you have better outcomes than if you do, right? Okay? And if you honor father and mother, you have better outcomes than if you don't. And we could go down the list. If you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you know, spend that time in church instead of out in recreation, you have better outcomes than if you don't, right? And so this is the reason why the law of God was given. And God says, "Oh, that they had a heart to obey my law." And then we come to chapter 6. And I have to read this section to you. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Here we have the exposition of the first commandment. What's the first commandment? "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me," right? So chapter 6 is simply an exposition of the first commandment. Notice 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." There's the first commandment right there, first great commandment, okay? He says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." First of all, you got to have them in your heart. And then secondly, verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And so what God is saying is, look, I'm the only God there is. Worship me, love me with all your heart, keep my word in your heart, obey it, and then teach it to your kids. And when he says tie it as frontlets between your eyes, he means let it direct all that you think, okay? Because that's where your brain is, right? And then when he says tie it on your hand, he says let it direct all that you do in your actions, because you do stuff with your hands, okay? And then he says, put it on the doorpost of your house. Whatever goes on in your home needs to be according to the word of God. And he says, on the gates, when you go out into the world, you pass your gate, you know, the word of God then guides all that you do out in the world. And basically what he's saying here is the word of God guides your thinking, your actions, your home, your actions at home, and your actions out in the world. And we need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God and think by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he's saying, let the scriptures guide you, not your feelings, not what other people think, But what does the scripture tell you to think? What does the scripture tell you to do? How does the scripture tell you to order your home? How does the scripture tell you to relate to people out in the world? Okay? This is a really key, critical, important passage in the book of Deuteronomy. So we have in chapters 5 to 7 the restatement and application of the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are restated in chapter 5. In chapter 6, we have an exposition of the first commandment. In chapter 7, we're told all false gods must be destroyed, that blessing results from separation from idolatry. All right. So then we have 2b, regulations concerning religious and national life. And this is chapters 8 to 21. And so we have warnings regarding the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience, false prophets and their doom, clean and unclean food, Sabbath feasts, civil governments, judges and kings, laws regarding murder, warfare, and family life. But the key passage in this section is chapter 18. Turn there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you don't get anything else out of the book of Deuteronomy, okay, get Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 18. Okay? These are really, really important passages. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, these commandments I give you this day shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Let them rule your life. That's the key passage in Deuteronomy 6. And now here's the second one, Deuteronomy 18. Notice verses 15 to 22. Moses is speaking here. He says, the Lord thy God, verse 15, will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice the capital P. A prophet from the midst of thee, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ here, of thy brethren, like unto me, to him shall you hearken, according to all that thou desirest to the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see the great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And so the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the words which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, and a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that thing is that which the Lord has not spoken, but that prophet has spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So what we have here is Moses prophesying of another prophet that's going to come that's going to be as big and as important as Moses. And he said, you know, God says, you spoke well when you said, you know, we can't talk to God. He's at Mount Sinai. We're down here. There's all this fire. We can't approach him. If we approach him, we'll die. And God said, you've well spoken when you said that. I'll send a mediator. Someone like Moses who will stand between me and you and make it possible for you to have dealings with me through him. And of course, that's none other than the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. This passage that I just read to you is specifically applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember they went up to John the Baptist and they said to him, art thou that prophet? And he said, nope. And what they were talking about is, are you this prophet? So Deuteronomy 18 is a very important passage. Notice Acts 3, 22 to 23, where that is fulfilled and applied. And we're now out of time, so we're going to zoom. 3b, regulations concerning domestic and personal life, chapters 22 to 26. A huge variety of subjects are dealt with there. It defies categorization, just tons of things there. And then, of course, 3a, future blessings or cursings, chapter 27 to 30, the blessings and the cursings declared. You remember on Mount Ebal and then on the other mountain, what was its name? Seer, yeah. It wasn't Seer. Anyway, the blessings and the cursings were declared. Wow, I hate this. I'm out of time. Future blessings or cursings? Let me just go over them briefly. Chapter 27, what they must do as soon as they enter the land. They needed to make an altar to the Lord. They needed to write in stone the law of God. Chapter 28, the blessings and the cursings were declared. Verse 2, if you obey God, all these blessings follow. Verse 15, if you don't obey God, all these cursings follow. And it's quite a list of both blessings and cursings. And then we have the renewal of the old covenant in chapter 29. The next generation had to reaffirm the old covenant, which they did. And then chapter 30, captivity of Israel is predicted. When you get in the land, you're going to go apostate. And then the new covenant was declared in verses 6 to 8. And then Moses' farewell and death. Joshua, Moses transfers his authority. Joshua, chapter 31. Chapter 32, prophecy of Israel's future apostasy. Chapter 33, God's blessing pronounced on each tribe. Chapter 34, the burial of Moses. What's the theme of the book? Renewal of the law and the covenant. What's the key verse? Chapter 6 and verse 18, our memory verse. All right, our time is gone and we are done. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful book. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And may the words of the law of God be in our heart, the Ten Commandments. Father, may they just rest there. May we have a heart to do them. May we teach them to our children. And may we walk in them in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for that great prophet that you are bringing, the Lord Jesus. And our Father, we ask that through him, we might know the circumcision of heart as it speaks in Deuteronomy 30, and therefore have a heart to obey and to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name.